Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study of Ephesians chapter 6 verses 5 through 9 titled The Christian Work Ethic. We're moving verse by verse through the epistle of Paul written to the church at Ephesus, and this study involves a portion of scripture that I have literally seen skipped, even by expository teachers. But there are some important truths found in the text, and we will also provide some historical background that will help in understanding them. Now we begin our study of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. The message is titled, The Christian Work Ethic.
Thanks. All right, you in your book?
Amen.
Ephesians 6, 5 through 9. And we're going to do a study this morning. Real tearjerker here. The Christian work ethic. But I want to introduce it with a couple words after I open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our time together, and it's just such a blessing and such a wonderful time. Thankful for the family of God. Thankful for this book and your Holy Spirit, the author, helping us. We just pray that you bless our time in your word.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We have a philosophy of ministry, is what they call it, and they use big terms, you know. We believe in teaching this book.
Amen.
And I have to say this every once in a while. I know people who have been to church for 40 and 50 years and never heard this taught.
Yeah.
Just let that sink in. Been going to church for 4 or 5 decades and never heard this taught. And it's just an amazing thing. When I got saved, one of the things I expected to do is go to church, and I expected that Christians would sing. Amen?
Amen.
And I expected we'd all pray. Amen?
Amen.
And of course I expected food.
Amen.
I mean, you don't have to be saved to understand Christians, especially you Baptists, they eat.
Amen.
Pentecostals, I had Pentecostal family. They didn't know. They didn't have to announce potluck. You have in church, you bring food. Amen.
Nice.
What I was shocked about was when I went to church and they never really studied the Bible.
Amen. Right.
And there would be all kinds of other things. They preach all kinds of other things, but they wouldn't study the Bible.
Yep.
And so, when you get into this and you see these scriptures, if you read through your Bible, maybe you've seen it before. But ask yourself, have you ever been taught this? And if not, then you need to really pay attention and take notes. Do what you need to do, because these words of God are just as important as the other ones.
Amen.
Jesus said, "You shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Amen?
Amen?
So let's read, beginning of verse 5. Read that with me. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him.
Amen.
All God's people say amen.
Amen.
So to begin with, we need to address slavery. You may sometimes feel like a slave, but you're not one. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, in America, we have benefited from the workers' rights and the laws that protect you from being abused. Child labor laws have kept children from being abused and used and all that. But Americans, you talk to a lot of them, they think if they have to work 40 hours a week, it's like they're a slave. They have never studied slavery. Amen?
Amen.
It says servants. I want you to pay attention to that. Servants. Be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Now, I want to identify three types of slavery because not all slavery is the same. And I'm not talking in spiritual terms. I mean just in physical, fleshly terms. In history, we've seen three types of slavery, none of which, I believe, is God's will. Amen?
Amen.
But, first of all, you had this type of slavery in Israel that didn't exist in other countries outside of Israel. The slavery in Israel was not a permanent condition unless you volunteered to be permanent. We'll get to this in a minute, but one of the dumbest arguments that the slaveholders in America put towards trying to Christianize slavery was, hey, it's in the Bible. Well, okay, let's go by the Bible. All slaves who have served more than 6 years, you're free.
Amen.
They weren't about to go there, were they? There's no comparison. I want to read this. Go ahead and turn in Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. Exodus is in the Old Testament. Second book of the Bible. Exodus chapter 21. And we'll read these six verses. I'll start with reading the odd, and you join in on the even, and we'll read these six verses. Exodus chapter 21, beginning of verse 1. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him into the judges, he shall also bring him to the door and unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forevermore. Now, that is not slavery that existed in the United States of America. There's no comparison. By the way, you just noticed there, that's why when I got saved, I used to wear earrings. You ever seen my... You look real close, you'll see I had my ear pierced. And I don't make a big deal about a guy wearing an earring myself because the more you learn about it, the more you realize it's not as big a deal as some people make it. But an old fellow walked up to me and says, you know that earring you got in your ear, what that means, don't you? And I said, what? He says, it means you're a slave. I said, what? He said, yeah, you're a slave. You have just made yourself a slave for life. I thought, what in the world is he talking about? Well, he finally told me the text, and I looked it up, and he didn't mean literally, but he did mean that that really is what the symbol was. It was this, you got your ear run through the mall, and people would look at your pierced ear, and that's how they know you'd volunteered to remain a slave. Just free of charge information. Doesn't mean anything, amen? You got your ear pierced today. You ladies, you know, that's... You can see people's nose piercings and all that these days, and people are like, oh, I don't think a man should have his ear pierced. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't really care for it myself, but all the women have their ear pierced, so what's the thing with the men? You ever think about that? I'm just throwing this out there. It doesn't have anything to do with our study. I'm just asking you to think, you know. You have guys who make that, I'm not saying, they just make it like it's a big deal. They make it like it's a thing of fellowship. Like if you wear an earring, I can't fellowship with you. And my thing is, I don't care for it. I'll be honest with you and tell you, I don't like earrings. But I don't think it's as big a deal. And if we're going to make it that big of a deal, shouldn't all the ladies stop wearing them too? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I'm just asking for an honest opinion here. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's why I don't make such a big deal about it, because I know better than to mess with the women. Amen? Moving on. There were many other protections and specifications and rights of the bondservant in Israel. You all know that. There's more to the story. We don't have time to get into all that. None of which applied to American slavery. That's why, just FYI, when some nincompoop tries to tell you... Well, a lot of times it's... There's actually professing Christians who will say this stuff, but also the atheists and the skeptics will say, well, that Bible says... They don't know what it says. Amen. And they say, well, that Bible teaches slavery. Well, first of all, it doesn't teach the slavery that you're referring to here in America. And second of all, if you followed all the rules and regulations, the slavery in Israel was almost like a binding contract more than anything. And you didn't suffer the kind of things that people have suffered under non-biblical versions of slavery. See what I'm saying?
Amen.
I'm going to come back to this in a minute. The second kind referred to in the Bible is slavery in Rome. Now that was a whole different animal as well. It's estimated half the population in Rome were that type of slave. That's not what I had understood growing up and learning about Rome. I didn't know that. This is from J. Vernon McGee in his commentary. He says it's estimated that half of the 120 million of people living in the Roman Empire were slaves.
Wow.
Now you think about 60 million slaves. Why was there not a big rebellion and revolt? Well, eventually that was mixed with invasion, though, as well. It should have just, you're thinking, well, at any time these people could have rose up. The reason why was because it wasn't, again, still wasn't the kind of slavery that we've seen in later in Europe and in America that you all know about in the middle of the 19th century. There's a difference. Now, this form of slavery was not in line with the Mosaic Law that we just read. But it's still not what we had in America up till 1865. Now, the third kind of slavery is what I've already referred to here in America and is not comparable to that which existed in Israel, as I just said. Any comparison to the nature and history of American slavery to that spoken of in Scripture is illegitimate.
Amen.
First thing, I just got to lay that out as we talk about this. When we talk about the servant referred to in Ephesians, that isn't the Old Testament idea, but it also isn't the American idea. And so we have to keep all of that in consideration. American slavery was worse. And sadly, slavery is getting even worse in our day.
Yeah. Amen.
About that top statement, I want to tell you this. You go back and you just read the unedited accounts of the abuses of slavery in America.
Yeah.
If you haven't already done that, I'm telling you, you don't know.
Amen.
How many of you saw some of the programs like Roots? It got ugly at times, didn't it? That was a whitewash.
Amen.
And I'm not going to tell you a lot of stuff because we have women and children in the room. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. Amen.
A lot of the stuff that went on in that under American form of slavery, it's not fit for open company to even discuss.
Amen.
Now, what I've heard these guys bring up here, well, there were some slaves that were taken care of really well. For a slave, I mean, for a slave, they were taken care of pretty well, comparatively speaking, to the other slaves. Okay, what's that? Is it supposed to impress us? No, the exception proves the rule. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
And, like I said, do your research. I could go on and on about that, how ugly it got. That's why even the men who fought in the South, like Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, read their own words. They did not fight for slavery. They fought because their country, they called it, Virginia, was invaded. They, in their own quotes, will tell you how wicked and evil slavery was.
Yeah.
So just go read. Don't even have to read the Northerners. Read the Southerners, and they'll tell you what it was about. Sadly, slavery is getting even worse in our day, and that's something that people today seem oblivious to, by and large.
Yeah.
There are more slaves today than there's ever been on planet Earth. Did you know that?
Yep.
I'm not spiritualizing, getting, you know, a little tricky with my words here. I'm talking about slaves. It's worse. I'll show you a little clip here.
For those listening by audio, we're viewing a trailer for a documentary called The Abolitionist regarding human trafficking, the fastest growing crime in the world. 2 million of those being sold into sex slavery are children. A team of military veterans, former CIA officers, and Homeland Security agents are working with local authorities to rescue children all over the world. Colombia, Honduras, Haiti, Mexico, India, the United States. Every 30 seconds a child is sold into slavery. For the last 2 years, a team of filmmakers and undercover agents have been documenting these rescues. From the producer of Schindler's List and Jurassic Park. The Abolitionists, released May 16, 2016.
And we're going to have a copy of that. We're going to show that here and then we'll pass it around. It actually has been out since last year. Charlie reminded me of it just the other day when he posted on it. And folks, just keep in mind as you're reading this, a lot of times you're reading the Bible and you say, well, that was back then. Let me tell you something. When you read about wickedness and sin in the Bible, it's worse. Name it. Name the sin and I'll tell you, it's worse.
Amen.
We're living in perilous times. And it's getting worse. This was a statement from an article in my hometown paper where I grew up, the Portsmouth Times, a writer named Nikki Blankenship. She's writing a series on this stuff. And she says, quote, modern slavery is on the rise as human trafficking continues on the increase across the state. We're talking about Ohio.
Yeah.
The National Human Trafficking Hotline reported 1,352 calls and 375 cases. 322 of those cases involved female victims, while 36 involved males and 5 involved gender minorities. Since 2007, the state has had a total of 5,070 calls and 1,203 cases. From these cases, there are 1,283 moderate victims and 1,114 high victims in the state of Ohio. This is sex trafficking for the most part. They take and they snatch children and they put them into forced prostitution. And that's going on right here in the state of Ohio. It's just a shame. There's a lot of effort to open people's eyes about this and there's just still a lot of ignorance about it. And I believe, this is a personal comment, but I believe it's driven by the power elites in this country.
Amen.
And I'm an equal opportunity offender. I believe both major political parties
have
a majority of people in those parties are perverts.
Amen.
And I've had two friends who worked for some of the higher level Republican politicians, and they got so sick of the corruption, and they got sick of the nasty world that was, that they quit. And so what do? We pray about it. We vote for people that we believe isn't a perv, isn't someone like that. We do the best we can. And then we trust the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So at the judgment, you're going to see that the Vatican whore is responsible for the historically known slave trade as a whole.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, I've collected information, but I by far don't have it all because they destroy the evidence whenever possible. Let me tell you something about history, folks. When you study history, you always have to keep a fact in mind that historians don't like to admit, and that is they don't know everything.
Amen.
A lot of the history has been destroyed over the years. Yeah. The Vatican, when they would go in and kill everybody like they did at the St. Bartholomew's Massacre in France, they didn't just kill the people, they destroyed all their writings and all their Bibles.
Book burnings.
They actually would just burn churches and houses and everything, including the books, and everything went up with it most of the time. And so we hear, well, you know, according to history, the church, blah, blah, blah. And they try to minimize the number of Christians outside of the Catholic Church for the last 2,000 years. They minimize it because so many were killed and all their writings destroyed that they'd left very little evidence.
Yeah.
And so as you read history, you understand that. And when you're, let me tell you, when you're trying to track an intelligent criminal, the word intelligence is key there. How many of you have seen the world's dumbest criminals on TV? We're not talking about the world's dumbest criminal here. They have covered their tracks and they've destroyed the evidence.
Yeah.
And they're responsible to a large degree. It can be proven how much they have been involved with the slave trade through the years. Now, I want you to look at this in Revelation 18. I don't ever like to just have you take my word for it. Go to the very last book of the Bible there in Revelation. and chapter 18. And we spent 22 hours of study in Revelation 17 and 18. It's all available for free online. Go to bbfohio.com. You can find it there. Revelation 18, verse 9 is where we're going to start. We spent 22 hours in Revelation 17 and 18 going line by line and showing that the whore is the Vatican. And we also provided you the information and explanation as to why you haven't been taught that on TBN and Christian television. It's because the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah. Amen.
And the Catholics have been buying people.
Yep.
Not only buying the people and giving them money in order for them to stop teaching what all Christians used to teach, but they also have been literally buying up Christian radio.
Yep.
And you go online, you'll find a lot of your, you know, positive hits. Positive. Everything's positive. I don't worship positivity. I worship Jesus.
Amen.
Why are so much of our songs no longer about the blood?
Yeah.
No longer about Jesus.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are about us.
Right. Yep.
I don't want to sing about me.
Amen.
And the reason why that's happening is because more and more of the Christian music industry has been bought up by Roman Catholics.
Yep.
And you can do the research and you'll find that. So beginning of verse 9, I'll read the odd, you join in the even, let's read through verses 9 through 13. Beginning of verse 9 says, "And the kings of the earth have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come." And I'll just mention this. They would say Babylon, this is talking about the United States of America. It's a city, not a country. Okay? Continue. Verse 11, "And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble." Pay attention closely. Verse 13. "And cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men."
Amen.
People try to tell you that that slaves is referring to spiritual. No, the spiritual is the souls of men.
Amen.
It's not just your soul, it's also your body thereafter.
Yeah.
And that's whoever the whore is in Revelation 17, 18 is responsible for the slave trade.
Right.
Now, it doesn't mean there's a bunch of every slave trade made was a priest or something. I'm talking about what's behind it, what motivated it. Usually criminals, it's like the drug dealer. The local drug dealer, he is basically a symptom. There is usually an organization or organized group behind that drug dealer. And the same thing's true with the slave trade. There was an organized system that we call the Whore of Babylon behind the slave trade. And it all began in Babel. And it began with Nimrod.
Yep. Amen.
And we're not going to take the time, but you go back and read Genesis 10, 11. When it says Nimrod was a mighty hunter, he was hunting men.
Yeah.
And he was enslaving under his dictatorial rule. And that's what was set the stage for the Tower of Babel and the incident where God confused the languages.
Yeah.
And that, then, we've told the story numerous times. Then you come forward to Nebuchadnezzar. We're studying this on Wednesday nights in our Daniel study. Come forward to Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, and that was the Chaldean priesthood that...